Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I had several scriptures that we were going to go to, and I felt that the Lord just narrowed it down. And this one scripture is going to be our springboard to the rest of the message. And I want to talk to you today about open doors, because the Lord has a word for you today. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. I want to talk to you about open doors. Open doors in 2017. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." Beloved, there are doors that God opens and no man shuts. No man can shut the doors that God opens. And there are doors that God closes, and it doesn't matter what you do. You cannot open that door, and you cannot make something happen that is not ordained of God. In the last of verse 7, it says again, there are doors that God opens and no man shuts. This is so important for us this day. And there are doors that God shuts and no man opens. I want you to see some images in the Word of God. I want to remind you of the parable of the 10 virgin bridesmaids that Jesus spoke of. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, 5 were prepared to go in with the bridegroom into the wedding feast. And 5 were not prepared, and they had no oil in their lamps. And so when the time came that they heard the shout of the bridegroom's party as they were coming down the street, the 5 foolish were out searching for oil. The 5 wise were prepared and ready. And the Bible says that the door was open to them. Understand this morning, there are doors that are open to some people that are shut to other people. And so 5 were admitted through an open door. And then 5 arrived and the door had been shut. And beloved, it is a tragic, tragic story that Jesus tells, because once God shuts the door, no man can open it. If God says it's shut, it will not be opened. And if God keeps it open, it will not be shut until His timing. And so we find that there were these 5 who were foolish. I pray that in 2017, we will be wise. God is the master doorman. The Israelites were led out of Egypt by Moses. They were delivered by the mighty hand of God. And they came to the Red Sea, which stood as a closed door before them. And by the very word of God, by His command, Moses raised up the rod, and God opened the door for more than 2 million people to pass through. A door that was impossible, a door that was closed to them. And they went through to the other side. The enemies of God tried to follow behind, and while they entered down into the parting of the water, God closed the door, and they were destroyed. The door was opened for some, and it was closed for others. Peter was in prison for preaching the gospel. And during the night, he was awakened by an angel. And there were 3 sets of guard gates that were closed to this prison to keep it secure. But God says, I am opening this door, and while it is open, no man can shut it. Peter, get up and leave this prison. And when God opens a door for you to leave a prison, there's no one that's going to shut it and keep you from liberty. Amen. And keep you from freedom. Amen. In December, I preached a sermon speaking of the seasons of our lives. There are doors that are seasonal in our life. There are doors that are ordained by God, but they are seasonal. And they come according to the timing of God. Because God is sovereign. And He chooses and He decides the seasons and the times of our lives. Timing is of God, and for the believer, you need to get this principle into your mind. We'll be talking about other types of open doors today, but the sovereign hand of God in the seasons of our lives, you can push, and you can push, and you can pray, and you can pray, and you can try to get a door open, but if it's not the timing of God, it's not the timing of God. And so we must wait upon the season of God. And this is a very important principle, because there are false doors. There are counterfeits that are doors that are put before you by the enemy of your soul. So many Christians do not discern this. And they're always looking for something, some other way or some other thing. And the door opens because they've either pushed it open or because the enemy opened it for them. I can't tell you the multitude of times in ministry that I have had believers come to me for counsel and said, I think this is what God's going to do. Some move, some area of life. And they ask for counsel. And so you give them godly counsel. And maybe it's not exactly what they want to hear. And they come back later and they say, well, God opened the door, so I know it's God. I'm going to go. Beloved, not every open door is of God. You need to understand that. There are ugly doors that open into the most beautiful of places. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And he did not discern. He did not know until later, looking back. He did not understand that what seemed like such a horrible place, such a terrible situation, was a door that God opened, a door for greatness in his life. That the very ugly door that he found himself passing through was the door of God's will for his life. And sometimes the worst places in which you find yourself is those are the very doors that God has opened in order to move you to the place where he wants you to be. So there are doors that don't look too appealing to us until we have been able to look back and see the mighty hand of God. There are grand, great, large doors, and there are small doors. Small doesn't mean that it's totally insignificant, but there are doors such as the door of a new job opening, such as many things along that same line. There are doors that open that in the grand scheme of God's plan, it is an answer to prayer for you, and it is an open door for you, and it shows God's wondrous mercy and love in your life. But beloved, it's a different thing when for an individual, a missionary, a church, God opens an entire country for the gospel to be preached. That's a grand door. That is a great door that has been opened by God. We'll see one of those in a few moments. There are doors which are revealed only supernaturally by God. Paul desired to go into Asia to preach the gospel. Listen, because it is so important that we learn to wait and hear the voice of God. God heard Paul's cry. Paul said, I want to go into Asia and I want to preach the gospel. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit forbade him. It was only for a season, because later the Holy Spirit allowed him to go into Asia. But when he first wanted to go into Asia, the Holy Spirit forbade him. How did he know? He had to have been in tune with the Spirit of God in order to know and to recognize whether God spoke a word to his heart or whether God literally closed the door in circumstances, whatever it may have been. Paul concluded that the Holy Spirit had forbidden him. But on another occasion, Paul is asleep at night, having no thought for Macedonia. And in the night, he saw a vision. He said, I saw in a dream a man from Macedonia. And the man from Macedonia in the dream said, come and help us. And the Bible says Paul concluded that God was saying that we were to go to Macedonia. Those doors are only open to us if we are keen to hear the voice of God, to know that it is the Spirit of God who is speaking to us the direction for our lives, a doorway opened by God. And so there are some doors that I want to talk to you about for 2017. But I want to first take you to the most important for the believer, the most important door of all. I believe, I pray that you have all passed through this door, but I'm going to preach it because as a faithful preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I must, if I'm going to speak of open doors, I have to talk about the door of salvation. Jesus indeed opened this door when he said, "I am the door." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Beloved, that is a narrow way, and that is a voice that is drowned out today by a multitude of other voices saying that there are many ways. But the Lord of glory, who took on flesh and came among us, said, "I am the door. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the door that matters above all other doors. It is not a door, and I always keep in mind there could be someone here today who doesn't really know that they're born again. This is a door that is not to be disregarded, not to be put off for some later date, not to be flippant about. This is the door of salvation. Now, beloved, some of God's doors we are swept through by the divine providences of God. Like Joseph, we don't even know. We look back and we didn't even know that it was a door. We didn't know that God was moving us. We didn't know that it was His mighty hand. And yet years later He reveals, or we look back and we see how He wove the very affairs of our life and took us through doors that we didn't actually choose. He sovereignly moved us through them. It didn't require faith. It didn't require prayer. It didn't require anything special. It was just the grace of God upon our lives. Praise God for those doors. But the doorway of salvation, though it is sovereign, and though no man comes to God, comes to Jesus, except the Father draws him, still it is necessary that we come by faith. The door of salvation opens only to those who place faith in Jesus Christ. This door of salvation, God opens for us in response to believing prayer. It is a beautiful door to the believer. To the unbeliever, it is a door to be despised, a door to be mocked and to be avoided. Many years ago, one of the first, probably the first missionary story that I ever read, it's out of print now, but it was printed in 1950 something, and it is called The Bamboo Cross. It's the story of the gospel going into the jungles of Vietnam, even before the Vietnam War. And the life of this one tribesman, his name was Saul, Saul without an L, Saul, was impacted by God as the missionaries came and brought the gospel to him. The book describes a night when he slept and he was sick. He was in a fever, and then he went into a place where God showed him a vision. And the vision was of this massive river of people that were all moving in one direction. And he was caught right in the center of that river. And people were pressing in on every side, and he could hardly move anywhere except forward. And everybody was going in the same direction. And then he happened to glance way across the river of people on the bank, on the side there was a cross. And there was this little ugly gate, this unnoticed by the multitudes who were going by. And he felt that he must go to it. And he made his way through the crowd of people pushing and maneuvering to get through. And finally he makes it to the side of the river of people. And he passes through the gate. And he finds himself in the presence of God. He finds himself in the place of salvation. He finds himself in the place of paradise. And he looks back and sees that the entire river of people are heading towards a Christless eternity, towards hell. Beloved, this is a sobering thought. That one day, he who shuts and no man can open, and he who opens and no man can shut, now has the gate of salvation open. Now has the door open for salvation, and we can be so grateful for that. But one day, just like the five virgins who could not get into the gate for the wedding, God is going to shut the door. No man will be able to open it. And judgment will come. Right now it's opened, and no man can shut it. There are doors that God opens, and no man can shut. And there are doors that God shuts, and no man can open. The door of salvation is a door of forgiveness. Just in case you've forgotten, I want to refresh your memory. That everything you ever did, I know it's probably not the case, but it could be someone who will be listening on the internet. I don't care if you're a mass murderer. If you pass through this little gate, this narrow way, God says it doesn't matter what you've ever done. It's all washed away, born again, new creation in Christ, a new start. Praise God. Some of you should say amen, but you don't, because you haven't grabbed hold of that very basic element of salvation, because you still feel condemnation because of your past. God says, behold, I make all things new. Old things have passed away. Would you let the door that is open to you in 2017 be a doorway of liberty, of freedom in the Spirit of God, that you're a new creation? Believe what He says about you, and that old things have passed away. I need to move on. It's a doorway to the secret place of the Most High, where you can come into the very presence of God. It is a doorway to fellowship, where you learn to fellowship with God and with other believers, where you have a family, where perhaps you did not have a real family before. And it is a doorway of calling, of ministry for every single believer. But I need to leave that behind, because I want to take you back to our scripture. Jesus, by the Spirit of God, by His Spirit, speaks through John to write this letter to the church in Philadelphia. And in this letter, where other churches have been chastised by Christ, there is no chastisement for this church. They are a church of love. They are a church that loves God and loves people. It was a church facing much persecution, much hardship in the midst of a very pagan society, much like the church is being plunged into today. In verse 8, Jesus says, I have set before you, this church, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Would Jesus say to a church, I have set before this church an open door, and no man can shut it? Yes, He did. And beloved, this statement matters. It mattered for them. It matters for us as a church. It matters for us as individuals. Amen. This was a doorway of opportunity. Amen. This was a church that He was calling to expand His kingdom. They weren't hindered as some of the other churches were. He didn't say, first you got to get rid of Jezebel. First you got to get rid of the false teachers. First you got to do all these other things. You've denied Me, all of these different things. No, He says, you have not denied My name. And I have an open door set before you. I have work for you to do. And no man can shut the door that I set before you. A door of effective witness for Christ to expand the kingdom of God. And beloved, what is spoken to the church is spoken to the individuals within the church. When individuals in the church move forward with God, the church moves forward with God. When individuals discover doors of opportunity, the church moves forward in great opportunity. And as we enter 2017, the Lord has something to say to you about doors. Now, when the Lord shows you a door of opportunity, He doesn't have you stand outside the door and then He brings the opportunity through the door to you. Things are required in order to follow Christ. Praise God, His grace is free, our salvation is free, but if you're going to follow Him, it's going to cost. So I'll say that up front. But He doesn't bring the things to your side of the door. He tells you, you have to move forward by faith. You have to go through the door of opportunity that he opens for you. The door is open for you and you have to walk through it. This speaks of obedience. It speaks of faith, of diligence, of commitment to what he shows you and to work. Not giving up. Not giving up. When he shows you something, you set your hand to the plow and you continue until the day comes that he says, now I'm beginning to alter or move a different direction. It's a matter of vision. It's a matter of vision. I just have come through a week of fasting because I needed my vision restored. And God has shown me things for 2017 for myself and for the church. But I want to talk to you about your opportunities this morning that will require something of you. These that I'm going to mention require something of you. So the first one that I want to share with you is the door of personal vision, because that's fresh in my mind. The door of personal vision. We talk about vision, vision for the church, all of these things. You need vision for your life. You need vision. What is God showing you for 2017, for the year ahead? What is the opportunity? What are the doors that he is laying before you? Beloved, it is the difference between a life of purpose, between a life of purpose and an aimless life. Can I just ask you this morning, would you prefer 2017 to have purpose where perhaps 2016 was aimless? Maybe you feel like last year you wandered. Maybe you feel like last year you were oppressed. Maybe you feel like last year the opportunities, you didn't see them or you weren't moving in the right direction. This is the opportunity today to step through the door that God puts before you. 2017, I believe God's word for us as a church, for you as individuals. This is a year of open doors. This is a year of opportunity for you. And if it's a year of opportunity for you, it will also be a year of opportunity for the church. Personal vision, direction, guidance for your life. And I have to tell you that here's the requirement. This requires prayer. It requires thinking. It requires seeking the Lord. It requires many times fasting. Have you ever taken the time to set aside one day or 5 days or whatever as a chosen fast, whatever fast God leads you into, to say, God, I am desperate to know what doors you want me to walk through. What is the direction for my life? Or to lay before him the things that are concerning you and that are troubling you, the obstacles that need to be moved in order to see the hand of God move. Now, beloved, how God speaks to your heart is something that is only learned through experience. He speaks through the inward witness of his spirit. He speaks in a still small voice. He speaks by bringing the word alive to you as you read it. He speaks through other people. He speaks through circumstances. He can speak through anything. But you have to be listening. And you have to let him know that you want to hear. And you have to be seeking. So you seek him in prayer and expectation. You consider, now I want to give you some things here. We're just under your personal vision. I want to challenge you to consider the doors. Maybe you have not considered them great, but consider the doors that he has already opened for you, no matter how insignificant they seem to be. Small areas that God used you. What areas in your life has he blessed already when you were obedient to him? What are the areas that maybe you touched somebody else's life and you knew God was pleased? What are the doors that he has already opened to you in a small measure? Consider those doors. Because, my friend, those doors are important for your future. If God has been opening small doors, he is indicating to you This is an area to expand. This is an area to explore. This is an area to move forward in your life so that I can bring greater blessing. Because get this principle, when you walk through one door that God opens, it opens the door to other doors. There will be a multitude of other doors that open to you as a result of that. So you consider the doors that He's already opened in your life. Identify those doors where God has used you. Consider the gifts and the talents that He has placed within you. How God has used you through either supernatural, spiritual gifts. How He has used you in your skills and your talents in your life. Because many times He will direct through those things. Begin to seek Him concerning those areas and ask Him to open further doors. Consider the dreams and the desires and the longings that He has put within you. I've always been cautious to say that, because every dream that you have is not from God. Many pastors today are preaching that you grab hold of the dream you've had within your heart. That's God's direction for your life. I can tell you right now, I've had dreams where God shut the door, shut flat in my face, because it wasn't God. But beloved, for many of us, yes, there are deep longings and things that have always been there that glorify God, directions and a bent to our life that He may want to use in our lives. So we seek Him. We lay those things before Him and we say, Lord, how would You use this in my life? Wisdom is needed in order to discern and follow in that area. Stay within the framework of what glorifies God. If you want to move forward with God in your life, He's not going to lead you in a direction that doesn't glorify Him, that doesn't bring honor to Him. God will give vision for doors that you can enter now and others that are future for which you have to wait. Be patient with the waiting. 2017, I challenge you. Let it be a year of vision for you. The second thing is the door of supernatural provision. Supernatural provision. I bring this to you because the statistics are, and I don't think it's any different here. The statistics are that in the churches in America, 20% of the people give. 20% of the people give and support the rest of the work. 80% do not. And 20% of the people do most of the work. God's called you to be obedient in His Word. Now, I may shock some of you this morning, but I'm just going to lay this out for you. To come through this door, you can't come through this door if you don't trust God. It is a door of trusting and obedience. The old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. God has called you to honor Him with the first fruit of your income, or else it is disobedience before God. To come through this door requires trust, and many people fail because they think, when I preach about it or when we talk about it, which I seldom do, that the issue is money. The issue is not money. The issue is trust and obedience, because everything that you have belongs to God. But the issue of obedience and trust is key for your entire life. If you cannot trust and obey in that area of your life, I promise you, you cannot fully obey God in other areas of your life. And I'll tell you why in a moment. Surrender of all that I have to God is the issue at heart. Let's see if this describes you this morning, because it describes many, many Christians. Haggai 1:6 says, you have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages. Listen at this. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes. The context here is that the people of God were heaping up for themselves and their houses and their families, but they were not putting the house of God first. And God says that it's disobedience. Now, let me say real quickly, there are two aspects to this financial issue of our life that need to be mentioned. The first is the giving of the beginning. The 10% is just a guideline for the beginning of being obedient to God. It's whatever the Holy Spirit leads you in, but He's not going to lead you to violate His Old Testament law. And so it is by faith and trust in God and the leading of His Spirit that we begin with the tithe. But then some people will say, well, I tithe and look at the mess I'm in. Well, the other part of obedience and trust is the management by the Spirit of God of the 90% that we're left with. God in His grace, I will say this, God in His grace has been faithful to me when I have tithed 10% and I was not very wise in the management of the other 90% because God honors His word. But when you put the two together and you manage by His principles the 90%, God will abundantly take care of you. He will not violate His own word. Some of you will have vision for your life, but it will never be funded. Now, I realize many things, the church funds or we raise money or whatever it may be, but some of you will never have what your dreams and your vision requires because you've been disobedient to God. You can sit in prayer for 5 weeks and fast and have a vision for your life, but if you're not obedient in basic discipleship to the Lord, then I'll ask you this question. How then, because I know this is what would be true for me, how could I go to God in prayer concerning the direction, the door, the vision, the next thing, faith, how could I go to Him and ask Him to do it when my own heart condemns me because I know that I'm not being faithful in the basic area of giving Him what rightfully belongs to Him and is not mine? Beloved, do you understand? It's not yours to spend. If you would just realize every time you spend a dime of it and you have not given to God His portion, it's not yours to spend. So what is that but thievery? You say you belong to Christ, yet your money and your possessions are entirely under your own control. That's not Christianity. You can't pray with faith and power when God says this offends Him. And I say all of that to say, let 2017 be a year where you go through this door. Consider it carefully, because it is only when you go through this door loving God. Yes. If you go through it because of legalism, if you go through it and you say, oh, I got to give this, you won't be blessed. It's when you know it's His and you want to please Him first. And once you begin, when you have that attitude, you'll never miss it. Amen. You'll never miss it. You'll never have to say, what if I didn't give this? Or, oh, do I give off of this? Or any of those things. You say, God, it's yours. Let 2017 be a year when you can count on God to take care of your every need. Amen. Because you've honored Him in obedience. The third one is the doorway of revelation, because I believe this is probably the most important. The doorway of revelation. Every believer is invited to enter this door. It is the deeper life. It is the door that takes you deeper and deeper and deeper in the revelation of Christ to your heart. We sang just a little while ago, Lord, I'm amazed by You. But how many people in here are really amazed? How many of you can say, I truly am amazed at Christ and the things that He shows me in His Word about Himself? How many can say that this last week God awed you? Just caused you to stand in wonder at His goodness or His majesty or His power or whatever it may be. This doorway requires that we be obedient in another area. Study to show yourselves approved workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must have a love for the word of God. You may say, well, it's hard for me. I read and it's difficult. Beloved, until you make the commitment and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you and you stick with it, You won't see anything because it's only revealed and understood by the Spirit of God anyway. And so when you come and you consistently seek Him in His Word, you can spend the next 50 years of your life and never exhaust all of it, never get to the bottom of the depths of the riches and the things that will amaze you about Jesus Christ. The Word of God is a doorway. It opens a doorway that no man can shut. Oh, if we only understood, people have died, been burned at the stake, so you can have this in English. Because it's such a treasure. It is the living, breathing Word of God. Amen. It is infallible. It is without error. It can be trusted for every error of your, every area of your life. Amen. It is a door through which I can enter repeatedly and return with spiritual riches each time. Beloved, I don't know how to say this and even display the excitement I feel about how great Christ, how amazing Jesus Christ is. I can travel, I can open this door, and I can travel through time, and I can see Christ as the agent of creation. I can find what His hand, the part that His hand played in the formation of the universe. His words as He spoke all things into being. I can discover things that have long since been confirmed by science, but were spoken into existence by God. I can go through this door and I can travel through time and I can receive just hidden and then revealed Christ on every page of the Old Testament. A whole race of people, the Jewish people, the ones in those in that race who have not found Christ yet. Read that and it is closed to them until they come in faith to Christ. It's their book. The Old Testament is their book as well as ours. It is their foundation, the foundation of Judaism. And I can spend a lifetime and I can dig up and find things in it that they never see when they read it, because you only find it by the Spirit of God. And you find in advance Jesus revealed and foretold, foreshadowed and pictured on every page of the Old Testament. I can travel and see Him revealed there, and I can discover truths and help for my life. People talk today, oh, there's a whole movement in the church about, well, don't do this because it's not relevant. We got to be relevant to our culture. Beloved, every page of this book is relevant to your life. If you will but seek it out, it is a mine. If you will but dig and find the jewels that are hidden there, the truths in the Word of God. I can travel back in time and I can see God's Christ plan for me, His plan for the church, His plan for nature, the natural world, His plan for this planet, His plan for the entire universe. I can see His power over every circumstance in the lives of man and in my own life, and His power to be my deliverer. Amen. To deliver me from things that hold me captive. To deliver me from the things that would hinder. I can discover how to find living water. I can discover how to move mountainous obstacles that stand in my way. Amen. I can discover how to put my foot on Satan's neck. Yes. And how to cast every demon far away from me. Yes. I can discover the wonders of the stars, the moon, the universe, and how they speak of His glory. I can see in this Word waterfalls in which He speaks, and trees that clap their hands praising His name. I can delve into the depths of this interior universe, the spirit and the soul of man, and I can find things, realities, listen to me, spiritual realities that the intellectual man cannot know apart from the childlike faith and the work of the Spirit of God within him. It is a place, you need to hear this, I've seen this in people that I have known. It is the place where men and women with no high school diploma, no college education, learn truths and principles and gain knowledge that will open doors for them and bring them before multitudes of people and before kings. And when those, a place where those with great earthly education and knowledge find in its light that they have lived their lives as fools, and they stand there having realized that they have displayed this foolishness for all to see. Beloved, I challenge you, let 2017 be a year of revelation. Don't be satisfied with being just a good Sunday school student from the past who learned that David slew Goliath with a rock. Find out what it means. Yes. And then go back a year later, find out more of what it means. And go back 10 years later, and you'll find more in that story. Go back 15 years later, and you'll discover things you never saw. Go back 20 years later, and a whole universe will be open to you in it. Yes. And everything that you learn, the Holy Spirit puts it together. It is the language of God. You say, I want God to speak to me. Well, He's going to use His words. Amen. You got to learn His language. And this is His language. It's a spiritual language apprehended by those who have the equipment, Spirit of God. It's rich. Let this be a year where you grow in the Word of God. God has a door for you. God has a door for you. 2017, today stands as a passageway to this year and to the rest of your life. The decisions you make, the doors that you walk through, will have repercussions for all the rest of your life and for many other people. Let me say this, if you fail, and I am so glad, let me just encourage you with this. I am so glad that when we miss a door that God has, somehow in His great sovereignty, it doesn't mean you have to settle for plan B. Somehow He uses our failures and still works it according to His plan. He uses the things that Satan means to destroy us with and uses it to display His own glory. Satan can never get the upper hand on God. God is always showing him up. And every time that God has a door open and I've missed it, He has redeemed the time. He has seen fit to continue using me. He knows how to redirect our lives. He knows how to open the door that's appropriate for the season. But beloved, when you don't go through a door, some of you maybe need to hear this morning. If God's put an open door before you and you don't go through it, many, many people's lives will be affected. Because His purpose is to make you a blessing to others. And you go through that one door and you'll find other doors that are open to you that relate to it. If you don't go through the one door, you won't get to the other doors. And out there is in time future, there's a multitude of people whose lives will be impacted because you went through one door in obedience to God and walked with the divine influence of God upon your life. Beloved, when God puts a door before you, you don't have to be afraid, but you must trust and obey. God has doors for you in 2017, only for that year. He has doors for you. He has some that you have already experienced in a foretaste. And now He wants to expand it. He wants you to have vision for your life. And He will confirm that vision. One of the things God showed me, well, He showed me this repeatedly in my life. We want God to give us the big vision. Rarely does He do that. He told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of a multitude. And then He walked him through it. But for most of us, God gives us a direction for our life. He opens a door. And if we're faithful with the doors that He opens, for instance, for 2017, I know He's shown me some things, but He said, until you are obedient and walk through these and keep seeking me, I won't reveal the rest of the vision. I give you what you can handle at this time. God has doors for you in 2017. And yes, partly I'm talking about the church, partly I'm talking about me, but I'm talking about every individual in this room. No one else can show you the vision of God for your life. You have to seek it. You have to walk through it. It may be as simple as in the workplace where you are. How does God want to use you differently this year? What does He want to do? What does He want to do for you or with you in the church? What does He want to do with you in your study time? That will open the door then to what He wants to do further in your life. Seek Him while He may be found, the Bible says. Call upon Him while He is near. I'm telling you, in this area, He's very near right now. He's saying, I have set before you, not, yes, the church, but look at me, not you all, I'll be Southern. He's not saying I set before y'all to you today. He's saying I set before you individually an open door, and no man can shut that door. But you must see it. You must trust Him. And you must walk through it. I couldn't help but think as God was giving me this, not to put her on the spot, but I couldn't help but think of Skye. God has put something in her heart. I believe it's God. Because, you know, a lot of times when it's us, we won't persist. Or at least I won't. You know, there's that momentary excitement, and then it doesn't go the way we think it ought to, and it just falls by the wayside. But when it's God, it just keeps nagging. And I know that Skye has asked God, and that she puts it before God, to go to Japan. God has something for her in Japan because He has something for other people in Japan. And I believe, and Skye, if you've changed your mind in the last couple of weeks, forgive me, but I believe I could be making a mess here. I believe she's going through that door. And I believe that it's going to be blessed by God. There are things that God was speaking to you in 2016, and maybe you did not recognize the door. Go through the door. The doors, when He used you in small ways, I repeat that again, He was indicating to you the way to go into larger doors. Hear this. Only he who can see the invisible can do the impossible. Only he who can see the invisible can do the impossible. Beloved, I said it in the prayer. God has not called us to just exist. He's called us to live.
Amen.
I have come, He said, to give you life and to give it more abundantly. Abundant life. God has a door for you. He wants you to live. See, I have set before you an open door, which no man can shut. Beloved, while the door is open, seek Him and follow in obedience. I'm not one who's preaching that all of life is a grand adventure, because there are valleys, there are battles with Satan, there are hard times. And those battles with Satan, I don't call them adventurous. They've been tough. But overall, I'd rather live. You know, one man, I don't remember who it was, said, I would rather be a meteor blazing across the sky than a planet that just revolves the same way all the time, round and round. I want to live like a meteor. I want to have the fire of God. Is that your desire? Somebody need to help me here. My prayer for you is in 2017, you're going to get some ethnicity. And you're going to learn how to shout a little bit and say amen a little bit, because it encourages the preacher.
Amen.
Let's stand. I pray that something in this word spoke to you today and encourages you for this year. Not to just go on. Not to just exist. God has something for you. As we close, if you need prayer, as always, I invite you to come. Most important thing is that you get revelation. The door to revelation is open to you. See what God wants to show you and what He wants to say to you. Because that's the key.